Blog Talk Radio.
Conrad Brooks, who co-starred with Gregory Walcott
in Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yeah.
So we have that link, the 6 degrees of separation. As they say, we have 1 degree of separation here. John Link and I have acted with Conrad Brooks on several occasions, including the movies Invasion of the Reptoids and Super Hell 3. And, John, you worked with Conrad Brooks on the Ironbound
Vampire by Carl Petrie.
Conrad Brooks plays a cop in, Jamie the Cop.
Yeah, he played Jamie the Cop in Plan 9, yeah.
Walcott plays Jeff Trent, who is the romantic lead and hero, the heroic airline pilot who discovers and defeats the space aliens in Plan 9 from Outer Space. And I contend, I named this show, and I contend that Gregory Walcott, who we just lost 6 days ago at the age of 87, was the star of the greatest movie ever made in the history of cinema.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, how many times you can watch something is the indicator of how good it is. And I've watched Plan 9 so many times over the years.
Up in New Hampshire, before I moved back here to pursue my acting career full force, I was working as the manager of a one-screen movie theater in Peterborough, New Hampshire, the Peterborough Community Theater, which still stands, and it actually is a bit of a historic theater in the state of New Hampshire. It's much smaller than it originally was. Parts of it have been taken up for office space, and they got rid of the balcony. But the Peterborough Community Theater in this little town of Peterborough, with a population of less than 6,000 today, has had this movie theater since the silent days. And of course, when I was a manager there, they gave me a great deal of freedom. And I unfortunately only had one experience with this. I lobbied to host my own Saturday night monster movie show, monster movie sci-fi double feature, kind of like straight from the lyrics of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I only did one. And it was in January of, I believe it was in January of 2004, I believe, or maybe it was 2003. No, it was definitely January of 2004. And I personally hosted a double feature consisting of The Brain That Would Not Die, also from 1959, and Plan 9 from Outer Space, and had a great discussion. Unfortunately, the theater owners were willing to give me another shot if it was a success. Unfortunately, we had a blizzard that night. It was in New Hampshire. This was in, I think we did it in January, as I said, of 2004. And they kind of said, oh, it wasn't a success. I said, look, we had 18 inches of snow, and we have a population of 6,000 people in this town. And damn it, you know, like about 20 people showed up. They trudged here in the snow, and they were hugely enthusiastic. And although both films are favorites of mine, people in New Hampshire, in this town, trudged through a blizzard because they wanted to see Plan 9 from Outer Space on the big screen. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, you're a print copy of it. And even though it was a small number of us, we had a grand time into the wee hours of the morning. And I love that movie. It's like, you know, critics, some with hostility, have pegged it as the worst movie ever made. And even lovingly, I mean, Michael Medved actually lovingly and affectionately in his book, The 50 Worst Movies of All Time, said hands down Plan 9 was the worst ever. But I really would argue that the movie maybe doesn't meet up to Hollywood production standards of big-budget movies, but Ed Wood was the kind of guy who made chicken salad out of chicken shit, an old military expression, with hardly any money or funding. He produced a film which is enormously entertaining at best.
Yeah.
And I'm getting too much Ed Wood in Plan 9. Now, Gregory Walcott had an illustrious career in films. He died at the age of 87, but he had a career in film and television that spanned 42 years. And acted in hundreds of TV shows and had 50-plus movies, including acted in Oscar-winning films like Norma Rae. He worked with Clint Eastwood, who was a friend of his, four times in Joe Kidd and, what did he act with Eastwood?
He was in the Iger Sanction.
Iger Sanction, where he played the hitman who niggles Eastwood in that. And I know he's also, his last Eastwood movie was Every Which Way But Loose, where Eastwood beats the living hell out of him. But he also worked with Spielberg, Underland Express, and...
You want me to rattle off his credits?
But you know, he shied away from, back in these days before social media, I mean, actors seriously worried, and it was a different time. They seriously worried, you know, appearing in a movie like this, so notoriously bad, could maybe destroy their careers. And he tried to shy away from and deny Plan 9 for many years. But ironically, his last movie role, which for some reason, I guess he just felt like retiring. He was only 64 at the time. His last movie role was in the movie Ed Wood, in which he played one of the backers, a Baptist minister who was one of the backers to help giving money to Ed Wood to produce Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yeah, I heard that the only reason he was in it was to watch that they treat the Baptists respectfully.
I don't know about that story, but I do know that they said that in the latter years, even though he tried to deny his association and was embarrassed by it, that in latter years he was quoted as saying in the year 2000 in an interview with the L.A. Times that, well, it's better to be remembered for something than for nothing, don't you think? And
yeah.
Of course, John Link and I both know Conrad Brooks very well. I was wishing he could join us today.
In fact, I was speaking with Conrad today.
Did you invite him to join us?
Yeah, but he don't want it. But he said, when I told him we're going to do a memorial for Gregory Walcott, he said, oh, what do you want to do with that? Leave the guy alone. He's in heaven.
Conrad's a strange man.
A fascinating life,
Gregory Walcott, though. I mean, you know, I wonder how actors in the old days, how and why they got their names. His real name, his birth name was, I mean, he was born in North Carolina, where my friend William J. Watkins Jr., with his wonderful woman, Aziza, known affectionately as Z, the belly dancer, lived for many years. But he was born in North Carolina under the name of Bernard Wadson Maddox.
Mm, yeah.
And he was no slouch. He joined the Army and fought in two wars. He fought in World War II and in Korea.
Ooh.
And then when he got out of the Army, he decided to hitchhike to California with $100 in his pocket, got some odd jobs, and in short order began acting in movies. In fact, no, but he had a bit of a foot in the door because while he was in the service, he acted in the movie, while he was a soldier, acted in the movie Battle Cry, which I believe is James Whitmore's first movie, one of the great war movies of its time. And he also acted in Mr. Roberts, played an actor, but was, I think he played an MP in that. He played an MP that arrests some of the soldiers. But I think, I'll let you talk, John or Cameron, if you've got something.
Yeah, Walcott had roles in many television series, including that of Stone Canyon, in two episodes of the NBC sitcom The People's Choice with Jackie Cooper. Now, I don't know if anyone remembers that. This was a sitcom in which Jackie Cooper hated the show. He said it was embarrassing. He played a character named Socrates, which they always referred to him as Sock. And there was this beagle called Cleo Beagle, Cleo Bassett, would turn to the audience and talk with Ann Southern's voice. Yeah.
This sounds worse than what they say Plan 9 is in its bed.
Yeah, well, I used to watch it.
Oh, there's, you know, the thing is, whenever anybody, you know, I always say that Plan 9 from Outer Space, the worst film ever made. No, it, to me, it was the best worst film ever made.
The thing is about Ed Wood, he made his film for expressionist cinema. See, Gregory Walker didn't know anything about art. He was in an artistic profession, but he didn't know anything about art. And all he did was put down Plan 9. But the only thing he was ever remembered for. Yeah.
You know,
so
but
to get back to Conrad,
Conrad, it seems,
is the only, the last survivor of Ed Wood's cast. And Conrad, as I tried to get Conrad to say something about Walcott, and Conrad goes to me, was he gay? And I said, no, I don't think so. And Conrad says, well, Walcott. No, I correct him. No, Walcott spelled C-O-T-T. Wow. So
what
Conrad really, huh?
What I think is an interesting, strange coincidence. I never knew Gregory Walcott. I know Conrad Brooks pretty well. I've got his number on my phone. I can call him up. What I think is very interesting is that Walcott, his lament, you know, I mean, I will start this off by saying my friend Bill Timoney, who is my mentor in acting, I asked for his commentary on Gregory Walcott. I believe he might have even met him, but he said, you know, what I'll say about Gregory Walcott deserves credit because he achieved what, you know, maybe he didn't achieve fame, you know, and fortune, but he achieved what so many actors seek that they can't get, and it's what any actor really wants. He said, you know, he was a working actor, and he was always working.
Yeah.
And he said, and that's all that us actors really hope, really deep down in our hearts hope we could do. If only we could just work as actors only and make a living at acting and be able to put a roof over. You know, get married.
Yes, hello? Anybody there?
Yes. Who's calling in?
This is your old buddy, John McCormick. How you doing?
Oh, hi, John.
John, I didn't have a chance to talk, but I'm hospital today, but I'm glad you're here because you might have some commentary, some interesting commentary. Our title of the show tonight is Gregory Walcott, Hero of the Greatest Movie Ever Made. 6 days ago, at the age of 87, we lost the actor Gregory Walcott, who was the star, the romantic lead, the hero of Plan 9 from Outer Space.
I was listening to that. I have to disagree. I don't think the worst movie ever made was Plan 9 from Outer Space. I firmly believe it was Woody Allen's Interiors. That is just a horrible movie.
all you have to do is say Woody Allen, not a fan.
Woody Allen's Interiors is just pretentious. It's dull. The people are—you just can't even stand them, and it's really not even—it's not even watchable. I can't even sit through it.
What has Woody Allen done lately?
Allen has become such a an upper class elitist too. He's lost touch with the common man. I don't know why his movies are even popular anymore, but they're not really popular outside of the major cities with the rich crowds, the hoi polloi.
I thought Midnight in Paris was excellent. I thought it was very entertaining, and I thought it was a funny movie. It was funny and it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
I didn't see it because I've lost faith in Allen some years ago. I'll check that out. But I would say a movie that makes me outraged and I hate it with an intense passion. Well, I hate all of Will Smith's movies, but especially the travesty that he committed with his I Am Legend.
Yeah, it was horrible.
You know, the only thing legendary about that movie was how fucking horrible it was.
Who's that, Cameron?
Yeah.
How are you?
Pretty good, sir, but pretty good.
I just think an interesting coincidence, I got to throw this in. Walcott had this illustrious career, worked with Spielberg, worked with Eastwood, worked with Martin Ritt, did a lot of TV. But what's very interesting is that he laments that I've done all these movies, did all this work, but I'm going to be remembered for Plan 9 from Outer Space, which he claims he did it actually as a favor to a friend who was a young executive producer on the film. He thought, he really wants me to act in this, I'll do it. But anyhow, what's interesting is that I do know Betsy Palmer very well, and she has a similar lament. She said, I was in Broadway plays. I was nominated, or maybe she nominated for Tonys, Emmys. She was in Oscar-winning films, and she said, I've got such an illustrious career, and I can't believe that when I die, my obituary is going to say Betsy Palmer, who played Pamela Voorhees in Friday the 13th, has passed away. She said, that's the movie? I can't believe that's the piece of shit I'm going to be remembered for. And similarly, she laments that, she takes it in stride now. But she said, I can't believe that's the name they associate. That's the movie they associate my name with more than any other. Friday the 13th, which I just sleepwalked through and I thought was a total piece of shit when I read the script. I thought it was so bad it was never going to get released. And she goes, but I'll remember that. But what's ironic is that in 1955, both Gregory Walcott and Betsy Palmer both acted in Mr. Roberts.
right.
Nice. That 6 degrees of Hollywood, you're only, so far away.
I mean, I've made a lot of, what I wish, and these people lament it, except for, Conrad Brooks doesn't. Conrad Brooks is very proud and always was proud of his association with Ed Wood. And he tried to carry the tradition on by making movies even worse than Ed Wood's movies.
Yeah, Conrad did the ultimate compliment to Ed Wood.
I've made a lot of bad movies, but my problem is I haven't made anything that's that bad. I mean, I've gotten a lot of my movies have gotten bad reviews, but I'm like, I haven't made one movie yet that has really gotten absolutely atrocious reviews. Maybe it would help my career if I was so fortunate. Cameron, maybe you should write a really awful fucking movie, something that really just sucks.
Ed Wood didn't make bad movies. Ed Wood was an amateur filmmaker who made movies good enough to be shown on TV.
That's the point. Ed Wood, I understand, appreciated the fact that Michael Medved named his movie the worst movie ever made because the public had forgotten who Ed Wood was, and late in Ed Wood's life, a few years before his death, in his mid-50s due to alcoholism, sadly, I mean, Ed Wood was actually thrilled that Medved put him into the public eye and got him and rescued him from obscurity. And, I mean, really, Medved, by calling it the worst movie ever made, made everybody interested in seeing Plan 9, and really it was his book that really finally made that movie a hit. So you gotta love Michael Medved Ed Wood died.
I hate Michael Medved.
Michael Medved passed away a couple of years ago as well, didn't he?
Oh, well, great.
I know. I feel bad that I don't have his book, because actually his book was quite funny. I rather enjoyed it. But might you have some other commentary on Gregory Walcott, Mr. McCormack?
He was in Joe Kidd with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't recall much.
That's it. Like Bill Timoney said. He said you got to give him credit because he was a workaday actor who was reliable, and the producers and directors that worked with him liked him personally, and they knew that the Eastwood liked him. The thing is, he tall, 6'4", strapping, broad-shouldered, good-looking guy. But it's just one of those strange things with all that going for him. He did his roles well, but just really didn't stand out except for in Plan 9. And one of the things you got to admire him as an actor, I've seen Plan 9 many times, is that, you know, whereas some of the actors like Bonnie Breckenridge is like rolling his eyes when he's delivering his lines, which is kind of funny, like he's thinking, I can't believe I'm acting this piece of shit. Walcott played his role. Maybe it helped make the film as bizarre and great as it is, because there were a lot of bad non-actors in that and ham bones. And then you had like the people like Buddy Breckenridge rolling their eyes and Criswell just hamming it up. But Walcott was the one actor who did a serious acting role in that. Delivered his lines perfectly. He never mugged for the camera. He never overacted. You watched. I remember thinking even like when I was a kid watching it, and even, well, actually later as a teenager when I was getting interested in filmmaking as a profession, I'm thinking, this guy, this Walcott guy, you know, he's actually turning out a very good performance, and he's playing it. You got to admire the fact that he's playing it totally seriously. He's not like
Walton. Well, he played the role totally straight. Like he wasn't mugging for the camera, and he wasn't playing it for laughs. I mean, he was playing it, you know, as the big strapping hero of the movie. You know, and you kind of almost believe in watching that, like, well, you know, if this guy got the right role, he would have been a leading man. But he kind of always had that, you know, I wouldn't say he was slumming it, because he, as you say, he was a working actor, which, you know, in this business, that's all you can hope for is to work and continue working. But, you know, when he worked with the likes of Eastwood on several films and whatnot, you know, and, you know, I mean, God, there's a countless number of TV shows. When I looked back and I thought to myself, God, I mean, I've seen this guy in 100 different things. I mean,
you know? Well, you recognize him instantly, you know, when you see him. But, yeah, right.
You know what I mean? He was one of those guys, you know, I mean, he was tall, he was big and strong and handsome and whatnot, you know, which is all the makings for, you know, a leading man that just never quite worked out that way. But
I'm bringing him up here, and he's been in a million movies. Okay, as a matter of fact, he worked in a few movies with Eastwood here. Also, Thunderbolt and Lightfoot, The Iger Sanction, Every Which Way But Loose.
Way back in the day, he was in quite a few episodes of Rawhide.
yeah. That must have been it. That must have been where they hooked up.
Right, you know.
You're looking probably at his film list, John McCormick, but actually his TV list was enormous. He did hundreds. And in fact, Cameron Scott might be interested. He was a frequent cast member, a guest cast supporting actor on High Chaparral with your namesake, Cameron Mitchell.
I did not realize that.
I was informing John McCormick that your father actually named you after Cameron Mitchell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Cameron Mitchell was my father's favorite Western actor. So,
okay.
To the disapproval of my mother, that's who I was named after.
And then,
30 years later, I'm working in pictures. So, I mean, you know, it happens.
Okay. Yes, as you're saying, Ed, he was very busy. He appeared in Murder, She Wrote several times, Dallas, Simon & Simon, as far as TV goes, Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah, we can go right down the line here. Vegas, Chips.
More Western shows than you can shake a stick at.
Let's go back to the 50s then and see which Westerns he was in. Rawhide, he was in, five different times. Was he ever in Bonanza? Daniel Boone, he was in The High Chaparral twice. Alias Smith and Jones, okay. Yeah.
He was in Perry Mason.
I mean, think about it. In the same year that he made Plan 9 from Outer Space, he was in Maverick and The Rifleman.
The Rifleman is there. He was there. I appeared in two episodes of The Rifleman. That's a great series. Maverick, okay. Perry Mason, yes, you're right. Bat Masterson, okay. Nita. Oh, Cheyenne. There we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You wonder why this guy didn't become a big star, but I wonder. Now, I know John Link hasn't seen it, but Cameron and John McCormick, have you seen Robert Altman's The Player?
Yes, I have.
No.
What's interesting is that you have Tim Robbins, like, struggling to become something in Hollywood, and he's failing and losing, and nobody wants to buy his screenplays. They've stolen it. The thing is, when he goes corrupt and commits a murder that he gets away with, suddenly it's like he is one favor with Satan, and his career takes off. You have to wonder. I wish I could have talked to Conrad, somebody that knew Walcott personally, but you're looking at this, and he was like a stand-up regular Joe, all-American boy. I mean, he fought not in one, but in two wars. He was in World War One. He was in World War Two. He was in World War Two as in the army, and then fought in Korea. And he was married to one woman for 55 years, had three kids. His wife, he was introduced to his wife Barbara through Dale Evans, who was a mutual friend.
Well, let's face it, the guy, okay, yeah, he was there, and he worked and everything, all right? But one thing he didn't have was charisma. That's what some of these jokers have.
Yeah.
You know, you take a guy like Lee Marvin. The first time you see Lee Marvin on the screen, you say, who the hell is this guy? Even in a freaking bit part, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he was the same way. He came up like he'd been in the service, was looking for something to do afterwards, and stopped into Hollywood. But, you know, the first time you see him on the screen, you know, whether it's in The Wild One or that movie that he made with Paul Newman, where they were both prisoners of war and Paul Newman was on trial for being a collaborator or something. What was the name of that flick?
Oh, shit. I'm
you know what I'm talking about, right?
And then there was the one with Ernest Borgnine, where they were fighting on the train.
That's Emperor of the North.
Well, he'd already wasn't an established star by that time.
Yeah,
I mean, talking about early in his career, you know? I mean...
You're right. I hate to say anything unpleasant about Maddox, but you're right. I mean, he was a very reliable working actor, but cursed with being nondescript.
Yeah.
And perhaps he only stands out in Plan 9 because he was the only serious professional actor in the movie, and it made him stand
well,
out.
Well, no, you had what's his name? Who's that guy? You know who I'm talking about?
Criswell.
No.
Breckenridge.
No. This guy was in a million movies dating back to the 30s.
What was his name?
You're talking about the police detective or something?
What the hell is his name? Hold on, I'll have it in just a second.
Dudley Manlove?
No. He was in like all of Ed Wood's movies. It'll come to me in just a second. Wait a minute.
Paul Marco, Conrad Brooks, though.
No.
Well, anyhow, seeing some Ed Wood
Lyle
news, a week ago,
Lyle
they auctioned
Talbot.
Off
That's what I'm talking
some
about.
Of
yes,
Ed
Lyle
Wood's
Talbot.
Scrapbooks. It went for $1,300.
What's this now? Whose?
They auctioned off some of Ed Wood's scrapbooks.
Oh, okay.
It went for $1,300.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Not really.
I mean, I just wonder if
Gregory Walcott had been more corrupt, or if he had been corrupt, or he was I wonder if he was just too much of a regular Joe, a decent guy, a father, a husband.
Probably it. I mean,
and so as a result, that's why he doesn't achieve the great stardom. He's just a working actor who then. I guess then retires at 64, kind of like, well, you know, it's you know, you're tired of working, you know, want to just take it easy.
Another thing is, one time I saw this set about Alan Alda, right? He was making a movie, and, you know, it really wasn't any kind of movie. I forget what the hell it was. But the reviewer mentioned that, you know, to be like a leading man of any kind, even in a comedy, you got to have some kind of edge to you, you know? Like, you know, Walcott had no sense of danger or menace about him either. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, there's no kind of edge to him. He, like you say, he's a stand-up guy, he's a regular Joe, but he couldn't play like a sicko, or he never did or anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's just like no menace to him, no edge, no sense of danger.
Yeah,
and,
I could play a sicko.
What?
I could play a sicko.
See, in your case, it's not even acting.
The one thing John Link has is just enormous fucking charisma.
Yes, he does. Yes, charisma to spare.
Charisma alone.
Yes, he's dripping with charisma.
I'm telling you, John, search Facebook, search the internet, because I just found some reviews on Road Hell, where critics are calling you like the sickest motherfucker they've ever seen on the screen.
Ooh.
I found some critic that said, you know, a weird actor named John Link runs the hotel. When we meet him, he's in drag, having sex with an inflatable sheep.
Yeah. Talk about an edge.
that's an edge.
Yes, razor sharp.
Mm. Yeah, I gotta say, that's the edge right there.
I guess in part we're doing this memorial, which is going on for about 7 more minutes. We're doing this because, you know, I don't know about you guys. You're supposed to
have to yell at the retard. Hey, I'm doing my show, you moron. Go downstairs, you fool. A few more minutes will be over.
These are the precious moments of the John Link Show. Hearing John Link about to engage in a mortal battle with his brother.
Yes.
Let me let the scumbag in here. I had to lock myself in the bathroom doing this.
I always wash my hands.
He always washes his hands after using the
bathroom. Well, good. That's a good policy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
policy. More people were like him.
I dearly hope that one day John Link will murder his brother live on the air during one of
these. Oh, please, don't even go there. That's not a good thing.
But I guess we're having this memorial because it makes me kind of feel sad and old that, you know, like a favorite movie of my childhood. It's like pretty much just about everybody except for Conrad Brooks is gone from
just becoming extinct. Yeah. Right. It's like The Wizard of Oz or Gone with the Wind or you know, any other classic movie. I mean, you know, sooner or later everybody becomes extinct, you know, I've been watching, you know, I see these silent movies on TV, and now it's not even the silent movies, but you think how everyone in the flick, even the kids, the little kids that are extras or whatever, are long gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Buster Keaton flicks that are literally almost 100 years old, and even if there's an infant in the movie, they're dead. So, so movies have been around for a long time now, and let's face it, Planet Nine from Outer Space is 56 years ago. So,
yeah,
and that's a pretty long time. I mean,
more than that.
Lugosi's footage was shot for the horror western The Ghoul Goes West, which never got made because he died.
I heard it was Tomb of the Vampire was shot for.
Well, whatever. It was 1956, just before he died. Yeah. And then Wood had the footage. And in 59, he decided to embark on making Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when when the offer was made to take the role in the film, they told Gregory Walcott, they said, you know, we want you to act in the movie. You'll have a chance to act with Bela Lugosi. And he said, well, what are you talking about? Bela Lugosi's been dead for 30 years.
Okay, yeah, it's listed as 56, so it's almost 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's a long time, man.
I wish I could have met him, though. I heard he did the convention circuits out west. He didn't come east. You never met him at a convention, did you, John Link?
No, never, never.
By the way, John McCormick has joined us, and the audience didn't have a chance to realize, you know, John McCormick is also an icon in the horror film business. And he's the screenwriter of Two Guys, One Box, a movie that I directed, and John McCormick wrote, and John Link stars in it.
Cameron shot.
I dare say, stylistically, we gave, and Cameron Scott shot it and edited it.
Yes.
And I dare say the four of us we gave Ed Wood and his crew a run for their money with that picture.
I've told you guys, Cameron, if you still want to do that Halloween movie, I've got the script ready to go, and I've got a juicy part for Ed, and I've got an excellent part for John Link as well.
Great,
in there.
Great.
Did he track from Cameron? You ought to contact John McCormick, because you see Cameron's coming out here in late April for the Chiller Theater convention, but he wants to shoot scenes for his new movie, The Crocodile Chronicles, with me and John Link. But maybe you should, you know, I wouldn't want to force it on you, but maybe you should consider a role for John McCormick as well.
You'll never go wrong there.
Well, I was going to say, we got to keep one role set aside for John Link as your toady, though.
Watch it.
I think the role should be reversed. I think you should just flip-flop that and have Ed as John Link's toady.
Yeah, I like that.
When the John Link dies, the New York Times will report that, you know, independent film actor famous for playing great toadies has left
it.
No. I think it would be interesting to shake things up, get everybody out of their comfort zones, and have Ed be the toady to John Link.
I'd like that. Yeah.
I got that Halloween flick ready to go, though, man. I think I already ran down the plot with you one time, Cameron.
It was a couple of years ago, but yeah.
2 minutes left. I was going to say, though, that, you know, Gregory Walcott has shuffled off his mortal coil and left this island Earth, and maybe he's out there with the space aliens working on Plan 10 now. Who knows?
Yeah.
there actually is a movie called Plan 10 from outer space, by the way.
Well, they did say that.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
In the town where you lived, they opened a bar. A bit of one of the trivia things about it, they opened a bar called the Plan 9 Ale House, and that Gregory Walcott donated his script from Plan 9 from Outer Space so that they could wallpaper the men's room with it.
Hmm.
But you know. His son, one of his kids, one of his three children, his son, I forget, he uses the original last name, Maddox. His son actually was one of the puppeteers in the Men in Black movies. Once again, his son worked in the Men in Black movies, had the opportunity to work with truly one of the worst people in Hollywood and the worst film personalities, Will Smith.
Oh, Will Smith.
Yeah, well, who truly makes the worst movies ever made. I mean, really, Plan 9 is enormously entertaining. I challenge anybody to sit through the torture of watching Will Smith's personal home movie under the guise of it being a science fiction film.
Mm.
What's it called again? After Earth. With all of his kids in it, that dreadful picture, that ego trip of a picture. Now, there is truly, I mean, arguably, seriously, the worst science fiction film ever made by a Hollywood.
Well, he's a Scientologist, isn't he?
Yes. Let's not forget to tune in Sunday night to HBO. this daring expose documentary on Scientology.
No.
Called, what's it called?
Out of the table.
Well, who cares, John? You don't watch anything. And pretty soon you're not going to watch anything when you go blind.
Yeah, watch it, Andy. You better get your legs fixed. You'll be playing. You'll be